PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Smell that?
What is it?
That's a smell of a completed film festival.
And it's a little musty.
It's a little musty. Well, you gotta air it out now.
Is that the way it works?
Yeah, 10 days straight of use? Come on, it's gonna get a little mildewy.
A little musty?
Yeah. Doesn't have no time to dry out between uses, so.
That's kind of gross.
Film festival! Comma Florida / 2018 colon retribution.
It's the colon retribution. Whoa, that's a weird festival, Chris.
This bandana's not doing the trick and keeping hair out of my face, Drew.
Well, it's because
I did it wrong.
Exactly. You did it for fashion purposes, not for purposes.
That is true. I am doing it. It's for both. It's supposed to be for function and fashion. But mm-hmm. Yes, the fashion is trying to bring it back.
I mean, it works.
I think so.
Huh? It's fine.
I think so.
Hey.
As long as I keep the right color out of the right hoods, I'm good to go.
Yeah, you have conflicting statements going on right now, Chris.
Red shirt, blue bandana.
Like I said, conflicting statements. That's why I mean, it works color-wise.
Color-wise, I'm fine.
Yeah.
That's why yesterday I went out with a white bandana. I was like, oh, neutral. Uncle, forgiveness.
You're giving up? Surrender?
Surrender. Cheap Trick fan over here, this guy. Florida Film Festival. Drew, let's go ahead and tell the people about all the movies you saw.
Chris, I saw zero movies at the Florida Film Festival this year.
That was very easy.
Nice. It just didn't work out, man. So much work and life and other things. Like, it was either, like, I take my 2 hours that I have to myself every day and give it to the film festival or keep it for my own.
Yeah, that's what you do. I went to as many movies as I didn't go as many as I could have gone to more. I could have gone to at least 3 more movies I could have squeezed in, maybe even 4. Mm-hmm. But then, I would be so tired.
Exactly.
Would I be giving movies my full attention? Then,
I would have, these movies would have gotten like my half attention, maybe 3/4 at best.
But I did manage to see 7 movies and 2 short films. So let me go ahead and tell you about some of these real quick, and maybe they'll pop up on like Netflix or Hulu or something in the future. Some of them will, for sure. I don't know about this one. This is a weird one. I started out with the music one. A lot of these, I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
Well, I mean, that's half the joy of the film.
Half the joy of it. Just, I saw a title. It's like, I'm going to go see this. And it resulted in a couple interesting things. So this title, what could this be about, Drew? 40 Years in the Making, : The Magic Music Movie.
Well, if it's a magic music movie, I would assume it's probably about some band that's probably been around for a while that maybe is either very famous, but you don't know the whole story, or nobody knows anything about them. They've been like the bottom of the barrel their entire 40 years.
There you go. So 40 Years in the Making, The Magic Music Movie, is about some group called Magic Music. That's what they call themselves.
Gotcha.
An acoustic group. Sort of an Eagles sounding early 70s. This was Boulder, Colorado, early 70s. And they're this group of musicians who performed a bunch around Boulder and developed a following, and then never signed a record deal, never got big, never got popular. Never did nothing.
That's lame.
And then they eventually broke up, and some of them died, and others did this and that. Some of them kept in touch. And the filmmaker, this guy, he went to that college at that time. He was there, so he's one of the fans. So he's like, I'm gonna make a movie about these guys to figure out who they are and what happened to them, et cetera, et cetera.
Interesting.
It was all right. It's not bad. The music's pretty good.
I was about to say, was A, the music good, or this B, the story worthwhile?
Story is okay. It's kind of a typical, you know, like they're presented with the record contract, like, we don't want to work with the man, and then it's like, you guys are a bunch of dopes.
And that's why you never got big, because you decided not to work for the man.
And I think it was like really one guy who was like, man, we're not gonna do it, man, and then like he went off and did his own thing, and then he died, you know. I don't know if there's... And then there's this weird thing about how some members of the group got together with another guy who was, like, part of their periphery, but wasn't really a part of the group or whatever, but he got himself in there in the group. Now, like, in the... Recently, like, in the last few years, and they put out a record, like, a really produced record, and a lot of people are like, man, that doesn't sound like magic music. We don't like it.
No.
So I don't see if there's any sort of magic music on Spotify.
On Spotify?
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, kind of just like a folksy thing. I don't know if this is gonna be. It says magic music, but I don't know if it's that. Right, well, let's give it a listen. See, I already hate it. Wrong. No. It's all like it's like acoustic guitars and stuff.
So this is not the magic music that you were.
Yeah.
This is somehow a magic music that's more popular, Chris.
I think this is the one that is the. The controversial, overly produced one. Let's see here. Yeah.
This is already pretty lame.
Flute heavy. It's flute heavy music. One of the original members played the flute. Into the highlands and close to a dream. Yeah, so like they're all about harmonies, like four dudes singing at once.
It's old school stuff.
Yeah.
Like this probably would have done really well in the 40s.
70s. 40s. But this is the overly produced though. Reminded me of Avett Brothers in the movie, the stuff that they were playing.
I've never gotten the Avett Brothers or Avett Brothers.
Avett
whatever. Whatever the fuck.
But that's
it's not my type of music.
But that style, though, so...
No.
It is what it was.
Sounds like the stuff you'd hear on the radio in Montana.
Yes. Between the Drake songs.
Because Drake's everywhere.
He's everywhere. All radio stations are the same now. Second movie I saw, Borg McEnroe. I don't know if it's called Borg McEnroe or Borg versus McEnroe. I've seen both.
They just call it Borg McEnroe.
And the title card in the movie says Borg McEnroe, but the marketing all says Borg versus.
So anyway.
Well,
they probably don't, because, I mean, if you say Borg McEnroe, people are like, wait, John McEnroe plays the Borg in a new fucking Star Trek movie?
Yeah, or there's a cyborg tennis player now destroying the Earth, the Borg McEnroe.
Exactly.
Is that a Japanese
what's
manga?
Going on here?
Yeah, what is this? This is strange. Borg McEnroe is the telling of the first time John McEnroe played Bjorn Borg at Wimbledon. They went up against each other 2 years in a row. This is about the first one. And Bjorn Borg at this point had already won four, and he is like the rising, not even rising star, he's the dominant star at the age of 24, 25. John McEnroe is like 19, 20, and he's brash, and he's a pain in the ass, and the media doesn't like him. So it's an interesting portrait of the two of them at this point.
Yeah.
You know, the different points of their careers, taking media differently. Borg was famously emotionless, robotic. McEnroe letting his emotions get the best of him.
Very not. I mean, we've found that out throughout his entire adult career.
Yeah, played out.
No.
Yeah, he continued to play out that way. He never really mellowed out.
No.
As a player.
Even when he stopped playing tennis, he never really chilled out.
Like, chill out, dude. Shia LaBeouf, genius casting.
Huh?
Genius casting.
Killed
it? Yeah, because he's like, you believe it. You believe the anger and the volatility. Like, this guy could blow up at any second. Like, all of a sudden, just start flipping out. Also, there's a lot of close-up shots, obviously, of him, of his face. And you can see the little scars on his cheek that from when he was on the Fury set. And he kept, like, cutting his face and reopening the wounds on his face.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job, Shia.
Well, you know, he's hardcore like that.
He's hardcore like that. Oh, what a tough dude.
He wanted to be a professional wrestler.
Man, I would love Shia LaBeouf. Someone send this to Shia LaBeouf. Tell him. We want to interview on the show. Come on down, meet in Cinema Crosby.
That'd be cool.
You can, we'll do some swag bag stuff, and you know, I wonder if he'll take the box or the bag. He seems like a type of guy that like the excitement of the box.
I mean, I think he's a little high profile, Chris.
Yeah, but he's cool though. Like he's cool. Like he's a cool dude.
Is he?
Yeah.
I think he's just a weird dude.
Yeah.
Well, I don't necessarily think that means he's cool.
I think he's a cool, weird dude. He's cool enough that Kanye West has, like, half of his wardrobe.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Strange, right? Kanye West took his clothes. It's like, I like your style, yeah, Shia.
So weird.
If he's good enough for Kanye West's wardrobe, he's good enough for Cinema Crispy. So.
Is he?
Yes.
Kanye West is, I think, maybe the same kind of crazy.
Hey, someone send this to Kanye West. Kanye West, we'd love to have you on Cinema Crispy. So.
You know, if we could have them both.
At the same time?
At the same time.
Yeah, it's not both at the same time.
Blow the roof off this motherfucker,
Chris. Let's not do that.
That's what would happen.
We just did the renovations here.
That's what would happen.
Got a new tile upstairs. Borg McEnroe was pretty
Between
good.
Their egos added to yours?
No, I mean, but they're cool.
There's too much.
Actually, I don't think we can get them together because apparently they don't talk for some reason anymore.
That's fine. They don't have to talk.
They can talk. They're talking
they
to us.
They have to talk to us. They don't have to talk to each other.
Guys, yeah, let's get let's get that Kanye Shia show going, guys. It'll be a lot of fun. So Borg McEnroe was pretty good.
Do we call it Kanye LaBeouf or Shia West?
No, it's the Kanye Shia. The Kanye. The Shia.
No.
Kanye Boof.
No. Does not work.
I saw a documentary called Dark Money.
Okay. Is this anything like the Netflix series?
Yes, I'm sure. Probably. I'm sure that yeah. It's about corporate money. In politics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yeah, it all comes down to greed, yeah, because it involves money. But it's specifically about corporate money in politics, Citizens United, and how that screwed everything up, and how Montana has some of the best campaign finance laws, and they have the best kind of campaign finance laws in the country on a state level.
Yeah.
Because of massive corruption in the early 1900s. I mean, that was everywhere, but there it was through copper barons that ruined their environment.
Yeah.
And so they rewrote the laws all the way back then to like really fix everything. Like 1910, they wrote corruption laws. And then their corruption laws were overturned on a federal level by Citizens United.
Of course.
So they had to fight to like maintain that, and then they lost, and they had to. Their federal election laws have to abide by the federal election, but on a state level, they maintain that we're still holding everyone to our stateship anyway. So it's about corporate money and super PACs and how people aren't accountable anymore for the money being spent on political processes.
It's like a whole little niche industry.
It's wild, but it controls so much now. It's a really good documentary. It's really well made, and so it's using Montana as the example, but obviously it's easy to see how it plays out on a big macro level, on the national level. So it's good stuff.
Oh, it's pretty awful.
It's good stuff. Actually made me view Montana in a different light, in a more progressive light. I got
big sky country.
Big sky country, but they care. Even a lot of the Republicans there that you would think Montana Republicans probably backwoods idiots, et cetera, but they were very much like, this is our government of the people, and this corporate money is ruining it.
I've been slaughtering cultists in a fake county in Montana for the last couple weeks.
Oh yeah, yeah. But have you tried to run a political campaign in that video game?
I bet
you
run
up against some interesting finance laws.
I helped somebody run for Senate actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, by killing a lot of cultists. Oddly enough.
They didn't.
It's all about murdering cultists.
They really didn't cover that in the Dark Money thing.
Cultists. The whole game's about cult murder.
Dark Money, pretty good. Before that, they showed a short film called The Shift. The Shift.
Shift.
So
it's like a small shift, a big shift. We're talking about like a grain of sand or
like a
building.
Like an 8 to 12 hour shift?
Exactly.
A work shift at a emergency dispatch center.
Is this a quick six? I mean, what's going on here?
It's a tight 8.
Okay.
In that it's about 8 minutes long. And it's about 911 dispatchers working a shift.
Mm.
And just, talking to two or three of them and listening to their ends of the conversation and.
Sounds awful.
It was interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting little slice of like, whoa, the intensity that these guys, what they have to.
I mean, I'm sure
they have to do.
I'm sure it ranges from the worst things you can ever think of to like stupid kids prank calling.
Stupid kids. I don't think there was a single Prince Albert in a can phone call. But
good.
Hey, would you blow me? Plea for help.
Seymour Butts.
Seymour Butts. : France edition.
Ew.
What?
Gross.
I saw a documentary called The Power of Glove.
Also, a Power Glove documentary?
Power Glove documentary. A little over an hour, kind of short.
Does it go into the kid who hurt himself and that's why they stopped making Power Glove?
No, that's nowhere do they talk about any sort of... Is this a myth? This may be an urban legend.
Maybe.
Because I would think that would be in it.
Because
they do talk about why it failed and... Well, the real reason it failed, apparently.
Which is?
When Mattel made the product and they finally got Nintendo to agree to put it out, Mattel was like, we have it ready. We want to put it out now, this Christmas. The software people were like, our games
are ready for this.
They're not ready. We need another year to make our games.
That really was one of the biggest problems with the Power Glove, was that it was a peripheral device for nothing but one kind of awful game.
When it first came out, they only had one game like ready to go. They had a couple games, but they had one that was like ready to go. But that wasn't going to be until like 80, I don't know, 6. They were like, or 87. They're like, no, this has to come out in 86. They wanted to come out a year earlier than it was supposed to. So they had to pay a dude to go through every, like, all 300 available Nintendo titles and come up with ways to, like, retro
use
the glove. So he had to play the game, learn the mechanics of the game, and then figure out how to program the glove. And it was one dude doing that with, like, short amount of time. So he did the best he could. But, you know, it obviously didn't work out. So it was that ended up a big old flop. But then they also talk about how it became a bit of a cult phenomenon. And there's this one dude called Triforce who's up in New York who he always walks around with the Power Glove on. It's always on. He has the cord, like, tucked into a pocket. And he goes to every, like, video game event. So in the documentary, they follow him to an orchestral, like, bedchamber performance in a comic book shop. I think it was a comic book shop. Of Zelda music. And he, like, got there the day before. He was the first one in line, sit there in a chair. He's like, I do these things on purpose. Like, I oversell these events to get my name out there. And, you know, he's building up his own brand, his video game loving brand. And he has 5 Power Gloves.
It's kind of strange.
But then it worked because then one the lady, she was like introducing we're getting ready to do this music, and thank you all for coming out here. And she did a shout out to the guy. It's like, is Triforce here? Is he here? And I was like, what? This guy, he's getting shout outs.
There we go.
So it's working. And now he's in this movie.
Big ups, Triforce.
Big ups, to Triforce. The Triforce wants to be on. Someone send us a Triforce. I think we can get him on the show.
I mean, are we paying for him to get here?
No, he has to get his ass here. Mm. But once he gets here, he could be on the show.
Mm.
Same with Shia. Shia has to pay to get here. Mm-hmm. Kanye's got... These guys can afford to pay their own way. Mm-hmm. We can't afford to... Mm-hmm.
No.
Unless they want to get on Southwest, you know, and then they have to be like, pick their seat when they get to the gate.
Yeah, because you're flying economy, bro.
It's up to them. Shia may be like, that's fine, man. I don't care, bro.
And sorry, you get...
I'm cool, man.
You get the middle seat because it's $1 cheaper.
It's a tiny plane. There's only 2-seaters. So, it's better. It's actually better.
Yeah,
although the smaller the plane, the higher chance of it going down. Mm. Not trying to kill Shia LaBeouf.
Sure about that?
Positive. I'm a fan. He was good in Borg McEnroe. He's my favorite part. I wish I spent more time on the McEnroe and less time on the Borg. Mm. It was kind of Borg heavy. It's also a Swedish made movie, I think.
So there we go. That
explains why. But, I mean, I understood. I get it. I knew what I was getting myself into. But he was much more compelling. Power of Glove documentary, pretty good. It was pretty good. The short film documentary that played before it was great. It's a little short film called The Tables. It's about how some dude had installed and maintains, I guess you have to maintain it, 2 ping pong ball tables in a park in, I think, Manhattan. It's in New York City. I think it's in Manhattan. And how every day there are people who congregate at these 2 tables to play ping pong.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's free public ping pong tables.
Free public tables. So they organize, like, tournaments and stuff. And they say from, like, 4 o'clock on, it's, like, it's really chill, the people that are there, the after workers and stuff like that. But then after 7 p.m. is when that's when all the blue
pros.
Chippers. Yes. That one dude shows up with a brick of wood. And sometimes he'll play with the paddle, and sometimes he'll just play with a brick of wood, and he'll beat you with some wood.
Up in that game.
And it's really good. The net is a metal net.
Okay.
Yeah, so it doesn't, you know, get destroyed over time. Yeah. It's out in the elements, plus there's always only people ripping them. So it's a big metal net, so that adds an interesting element to that particular game of ping pong. It reminds me of how the basketball courts, for the longest time, they would have, metal nets.
Yeah, the chain nets.
Chain nets.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were lucky to find a hoop with a net. Because if you shoot a swish and there's no net, how do you know? Now you're arguing. Just, now you're arguing. That just, went in. Like, no, that was an air ball. Yeah.
There's nothing.
There's no sound.
You don't hear the...
There's no sound. There's no movement.
The chain.
The ball goes cleanly through the ring. Yeah. You're like, did that go in?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's why I need a net.
We need an instant replay. Somebody get the drone.
Someone give me that.
See, they thought it was funny.
So, the table's rigged. It was rigged. All right, I saw... now, going back to... 911 operators. I walked into this movie called The Guilty. This was a Friday evening movie. It was like 6:15.
Okay.
I had no idea what I was walking into in terms of like audience interest.
Okay.
I got there at 6:15, right? Because press is always the last one in. So yeah, I get there right when the scheduled showtime is. And they let me in, but then the theater was like fucking full.
Mm.
I found a seat though in like a decent row, kind of where we normally sit, but off to the side between like these two groups of old people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was next to this old dude who was like eating all this popcorn and was like really sticking that popcorn. And then this lady next to me who she used the recliner and had her feet up and she had her like stinky old lady feet
nope,
up there.
She's chilling.
I was between feet and popcorn.
That is one thing I don't like about this whole reclining seats thing is everyone they're like, I'm at home. I'm gonna put my feet up. A lot of them take off their shoes.
It's gross.
It is foul.
Yeah, people, what's wrong with you? You're gross people. People are animals.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and saw The Guilty, not knowing what it was. He's a police officer who has been reassigned to emergency dispatch in Daneland. Yeah, that's where the Danes are from, right? The Danish? Danishland.
Let's go to the Google and see if Daneland exists.
It's right next to Switzerland, Deutschland, Daneland. It's a Danish film. You know the Dutch. So, Dutch. Denmark.
It's from Denmark, Chris. Denmark. The Danes are from Denmark.
Well, you have to Google it. That was a brain fart and a half. It's a Danish film. And it's a 911 dispatcher, and it turns out you can tell pretty quickly that he's a cop who's been reassigned there, and the night shift, and the next day he has it's a big thing. It's like his court deal or whatever, and you learn his story throughout the thing. But what it is, Drew, it's pretty much Locke. In a 911 call center.
This is not Tom Hardy.
No, it's a Daylander.
Is he Daywalker?
No. He's not going anywhere. He's a Daylander.
So he just landed here during the day.
He's just there. He's a Daylander. That's hard to say.
A Denmarkian?
Denmarkian. There you go. A Demogorgian. That's something else. And it's kind of a real time-ish movie where he's taking a few phone calls and then he takes a call from someone who's in a kidnapped situation, a lady, and she's in a moving vehicle, and so he's like trying to take care of this whole situation from his desk, and so it's just him making phone calls and talking to people and all the actions playing out
in your head,
so you're hearing it in his phone, all the sound design and everything, and that's how the story plays out. It's got one, kind of a big twist that goes on partway through. Pretty compelling, well made. Not that long, hour and a half. About halfway through, he gets up from his desk and he's like, "I'm gonna go be in that room," and then he takes.
And then you're in that room.
And he switches to another computer, and then he's in a different room. But it's all in the two rooms.
Yeah.
With the guy.
But like you said, I mean, you said Locke.
It's Locke.
911 dispatcher. I'm just a dude in a car, so.
It's Locke and a 911 dispatcher. So that's what it is. The Guilty. Pretty good.
Cool.
Pretty good. Check out a Danish movie theater near you. I saw Hearts Beat Loud, which is with Nick Offerman.
Okay.
He plays a single dad.
Uh-huh.
Daughter getting ready to go to college. Mm-hmm. It's like the end of summer vacay, and she's going to UCLA. She's going from Brooklyn to UCLA, so the other side of the country. He's a record store owner, getting ready to close down the record shop because it's not working anymore.
I thought record sales were better than ever.
Not in Red Hook, Brooklyn, apparently.
Brooklyn? No record sales? Really? Hipster country?
It's also a big ass store, too.
What? Maybe that's the reason.
I don't know. Yeah, it should have worked.
I have to say, selling records in Brooklyn, that sounds like a money making
bonanza. Yeah, he could have done a better job of making it work. Especially a place that's been around for a long time. He has a bunch of instruments because he used to be, used to do music, used to be in a band, so he has a bunch of instruments, and he has jam sesh with his daughter where they just make music. So in the beginning of the movie, they have a jam sesh, but they kind of like what they're coming up with, so they compose a whole song. He puts it on Spotify, it gets a little traction, so he tries to start a band with her. And she's like, yo, I don't want to start a band, I want to explore my my newfound love with this other girl, and then also have to move to California.
I gotta go, Pops.
I gotta go. Hearts beat loud. It's pretty good.
Besides, if I want to make it in the music industry, I gotta go out to LA anyway.
It was pretty good music, too, actually. It's kind of, I don't know, how would you even describe it? Like, modern indie, for sure. Let's see if...
The dog's chiming in there, so that's good.
Well, I mean, he wants to get on the podcast.
Getting to his dog and heavy in this.
The name of the band was We're Not a Band. That was pretty funny, honey.
That's self-aware.
How they came up with that. It's not on the... There's no. Anyway. It's pretty good.
Well, it's about putting music on Spotify, and they couldn't get their music on Spotify?
Well, I don't know if there's a soundtrack or not. I don't think there's a soundtrack. Not yet.
Yeah, I would think there would be.
It's not on Spotify. I mean, there's a couple, original songs.
That's interesting.
I don't know who did the... I don't know who did the actual song though. Maybe if I could... it doesn't matter. We'll call this out. Hearts Beat Loud, not bad. Nick Offerman was good. Also, Ted Danson popped up. That was nice.
What?
Yeah, like, he plays a bartender.
Weird.
Pothead bartender.
Interesting.
Yeah. And Toni Collette. She's the landlady.
Strange.
Yeah. It's a pretty good cast. Good little movie. That one will for sure pop up on people's, Amazons or whatever.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Finally, the best movie I saw was the last movie I saw. An Indonesian film. It's like a heavily influenced on Sergio Leone westerns, which just means lots of wide shots within trumpets being like, stuff like that. And but it was it's a really well-made little movie called Marlena, the Murderer in Four Acts. Act 1, 2, 3, 4. Very straightforward movie, story-wise. Marlena is a widow. She lives in a little, farmhouse now, obviously by herself because she's still in mourning. And a dude shows up on a motorcycle, this older guy, and he's like, "Hey, you got a lot of debts. Your family has a lot of debts, and I know you can't pay them. So there's a group of 7 dudes coming, half an hour behind me. They're gonna have trucks. We're gonna take all your stuff." We're taking all your cattle, we're taking all your money, we're taking everything you have, and then if we have time at the end of the night, we're all going to have our way with you. So consider yourself lucky. He says this, consider yourself lucky that you're a widow now, but you're going to get to have sex with 7 dudes tonight, so that's a good thing. While we wait for the guys to show up, why don't you make us some dinner? Thanks, appreciate it.
Sweet.
And she's just like, God damn it. what am I going to do? This guy's going to kill me. So she complies as far as she can. And these dudes show up and they start taking all her shit and they're like, yeah, and then we're also gonna rape you. Everyone's very straightforward about it. It's very awkward and weird. It reminds me a lot of in the setups and even the look of it, reminds me of the beginnings of Inglourious Basterds, the French farmhouse stuff like that. And it's really tense and interesting and pretty early on, she gets her, comeuppance against some of them.
Okay.
And then the movie is, kind of just following the progression of...
Comeuppance.
Of that setup and her trying to get to the police. And it's very cleanly split up into 4 acts. And there's another character who's a friend of hers or a neighbor character that she's, 10 months pregnant. She's ready to pop. And all this shit goes down. It's good. Marlena the Murderer in 4 acts.
Well, apparently she kills people and there are 4 acts of it.
She is Marlena the Murderer, yes. Mm-hmm. And then there's 4 acts.
Yeah.
It's definitely... And it has so it's like Sergio Leone, but it's got a little bit of... journey, like through the West type movie.
Okay.
Like through the desert, even though it's Indonesia, but yeah. It still has a Western mm-hmm. feel. At one point, she is on a horse. She's riding a horse. Mm. Has a very Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia type of vibe to mm-hmm. it. You know, or even remember that Tommy Lee Jones movie, The Three Burials of Melquiades Estrada. Did you ever see that one?
Nope.
With Barry Pepper?
Nope.
Barry Pepper plays a border patrol guard who kills a dude.
Okay.
And Tommy Lee Jones gets wind of it. He's an old white guy who feels for the old savage Indians. Mm-hmm. So he kidnaps Barry Pepper, gets the body of the dude he killed, and then at gunpoint forces him to travel the body on foot back to the guy's, like, his homeland, a reservation or whatever, or Mexico, I don't know, somewhere.
No.
And, like, give it a proper burial and all this stuff. You never saw that one?
No.
That was, like, 2006, 2007? It's a while ago.
Interesting.
He directed it, Tommy Lee Jones.
That's good.
That's good stuff. You should watch that and watch The Homesman. It'd be a good double feature.
The Homesman.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Marlena the Murderer in Four Acts is it's good. It's definitely really good. They could also call it Don't Fuck Around with Machetes. They could also call it that.
Or, Marlena the Murderer in Four Acts, or Don't Fuck with Machetes.
Don't Fuck with Machetes. Yeah. Those machetes will fuck with you. Like, oh, man. He's machete crazy.
There we go.
It's crazy. It was good. In the description, they called it a satay western because Italian spaghetti western. Takashi Miike made a western. They called it a sukiyaki western. Yeah.
Okay.
Sukiyaki. It's a type of noodle. And the satay western.
There we go.
So I saw 7 movies plus 2 shorts.
Boom.
Helped out my Crespo Fundo.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's almost 10% of it right there.
Yeah. So I got up to around 46, 47 movies.
I mean, not bad. April's almost up, so...
Almost halfway through and not halfway through the year, so doing pretty good there. Gabe, obviously, is the first one to finish, but some people on Twitter are in their 70s, on Facebook, too. A couple people are in their 70s already.
There we go,
Just crushing. Not going to have too many shirts made. Looking at maybe 20 shirts tops.
I mean, that could actually be to our benefit.
For price wise? Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely, yeah. I knew that would happen. I knew a bunch of people. Well, I didn't know a lot of people would start, like, so many people would participate in the beginning.
Yeah.
I was shocked by how many
people would actually finish it.
Yeah. No, yeah. I knew only a small percentage would finish it, but mm-hmm. I was shocked by how many people started. It looks like a couple dozen shirts at the tops. So we need to start coming up with some design ideas.
I've been thinking about it. We'll see.
Oh, we'll come up with some.
We got plenty of time.
All right. There we go. Florida Film Festival 2018 was a lot of fun, guys. I feel like I remember last year being a little underwhelmed with some of the movies I saw overall for like the first time really since I've been covering it going all the way back to 2010.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I feel like this was a bit of a bounce back year.
There we go.
It was good. It was good stuff. And I like that I got to see, let me see, 1, 2, 3 documentaries. And if you count Borg McEnroe as a Swedish film.
Which it should be.
Even though it wasn't, majority of it wasn't English. And takes place in England because it's centered around Wimbledon. 1, 2, 3 international movies. 3 foreign films.
Well, I mean, that's what the Film Fest is for. Yeah. It's a spotlight for stuff like that.
But every now and then you get to see something like A Heart's Beat Loud, or remember we saw Morris from America a couple years ago? You know, they get your occasional A24s, or which one was it? The Guilty is Magnolia.
Yeah, I mean, Tully played here.
So Tully, yeah, that was...
That'll be coming out soon enough.
That was an opening weekend movie, yeah, with that Charlize Theron. Man, I want to see that. All right, there you go. So that's it. Florida Film Fest 2018, a mediocre documentary with Tom and Dan sold out, so I couldn't even think about getting into that.
Not even if you wanted to.
Not even if I wanted to, which I could do. But it's also playing at the Dr. Phillips Center, but at the same time that I'm hosting Harry Potter trivia.
The Harry Potter's going to be busy.
So that's going to be pretty busy. So I won't be able to see that. That was a $45 ticket.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Speaking of Universal, I just read an article that Universal recently closed a deal on land south of what they've got now.
Mm-hmm.
And it is almost double the size of what they currently own.
Really?
Yeah.
So they're adding 66% of their size? Man, that's crazy.
That's of land that they own. Yeah. So, now, obviously, they still have to develop it and this, that, the other, blah, 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 blah. But they have the space now to do it.
That sounds like Nintendo World to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're doing that. They're doing that in Japan.
That's what
they're... Universal Japan.
The first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the mainstay one. Like, we might get a small Nintendo World, but Nintendo World is going to be like it's going
to
be like the crown jewel of
Japan
Universal.
Do some Mario Karting.
It all sounds awesome.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. Awesome, good for them. I'm a Universal Studios fan, so anything they want to do to get me there, I'm all for it.
They got to find some way to compete with, Star Wars Land.
Star Wars Land, that's going to be crazy when they really get that going. The plans are,
I mean, it's going,
are pretty wild. Like 2020, 2021 is when they expect to start opening up Star Wars Land type stuff. And who knows, maybe the Avatar movies will be big hits and revitalize interest in Pandora.
Perhaps.
It's been so long that people forgot about it. It's still popular.
Yeah. Nerd Mecca, bro.
Nerd Mecca. Nerd Mecca. Mech nerds. That's something different. Alrighty, well, that was our bonus episode. On all that, there you go.
Boom.
Thanks, guys. That's it, we're done.
A PFT Media production.